The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, as you will be aware, we are broadcasting from the heart of Philadelphia today. And sadly, there is a massive problem with opiate use in the city. For more on this and the wider drug conversation, we are joined by Ed Mahan, investigative reporter at Spotlight PA. Ed, thank you indeed for talking to us. Tell us about this major opiate crisis in Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania has had thousands of people die from drug overdoses over the past several years, shooting up to record highs in 2017 and then spiking again in 2020, 2021, 22 with the pandemic. And Philadelphia is the area of the state that has been hardest hit by many measures. There were more than 1,000 drug overdose deaths in Philadelphia in 2024, and that's pretty common. And anyway, I can talk more about sort of all the ripple effects that have, but just, you know, that's the broader context. We're a big state, Pennsylvania, struggling with opioid epidemic all across the state, and Philadelphia is an area hardest hit.
And do tell us about the ripple effects of that.
Sure. And I think one of the best places to look is in the Kensington area of Philadelphia. It's an area that's kind of referred to as the epicenter of the drug crisis, and it's where a lot of resources and a lot of arguments about how to respond are happening. But there was a city effort a couple of years ago when we got all this money from the opioid settlements with drug companies. These were, you know, billions of dollars coming to state to try and fight this crisis and coming from companies for allegedly fueling the crisis. But, you know, the city talked about how they needed to pour some of this money into the Kensington area, and they talked about sort of the trauma that is created by having open air drug markets operate in that area 24/7. They talked about how Kensington residents face real world visual and representations of the overdose crisis, including daily exposure to intravenous drug use, open air sex work, discarded syringes, human feces, blood, other hazardous materials, and how people would witness fatal and non-fatal overdoses in public spaces. And so this, you know, in this Kensington area, about 45% of households were below the poverty line, which was double the city's average. So, you know, Kensington became this place where a lot of attention was concentrated. And then you have drug users traveling to that area because it was, you know, the main spot for it.
And is it as bad today? I mean, have any of the problems being addressed? It's about, what, 5 kilometers out of the city center. Is that correct?
That sounds about right. But I'm not as up to date on sort of the kilometers. But yeah, it's not that far from the city center.
My apologies, about 3 miles or so.
Yeah, that sounds good. But that sounds good. And you know, and there's been the new mayor, Cheryl Parker. She's done a lot of work to sort of have sweeps in that area, and she's also, I think, done some work that, she has not wanted city money to fund syringe services programs. These are programs that provide clean needles to drug users. And, you know, she's also passed some laws to limit sort of the services that are provided in those areas, because there's this real tension and debate about whether having these services concentrated in that area, you know, encourages drug users to flock to that area. And so, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the local reporting has talked about how it has had an impact in that area. And I think the big question is, like, if it can have, like, a long-term sustainable impact. But also, I think it's important to note that, you know, across the country, we are seeing, and in Pennsylvania, we are seeing some drops in fatal overdoses, which is very good news. And that's attributed to a lot of different reasons, but also the sort of changing drug supply. But that is, you know, good news in Pennsylvania from where we were several years ago.
So are there big differences between politicians on how best to address this very difficult issue? It's not going to be easy to solve. Are there very different approaches from different politicians?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's a great question. I mean, because you've seen in Pennsylvania, there was a big push in Philadelphia years ago to have what is known as safe consumption sites or supervised injection sites, and where you could have areas where people could, you know, with approval, without fear of prosecution, use drugs openly and be supervised and then get revived if needed. And the idea there is that, you know, if it's supervised, you can use Narcan and you can save lives that way. You know, that was, while there are a lot of people who support that, there's a lot of politicians, a lot of people in power, including our governor, have not been supportive of that idea, and efforts to start a safe consumption site or supervised injection site in Pennsylvania, you know, they stalled for a long time. And that's one example. There are others as well.
This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I need only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
And Ed, is it too simplistic to ask, does it break down along party lines? Do Republicans tend to be, you know, tough on drugs, and Democrats advocating a more interventionist approach? Or is that too simplistic?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it is like somewhat too simplistic for how it ends up working out in Pennsylvania, for instance. I mean, because like our governor, Josh Shapiro, he's a Democrat. When he was attorney general, he was, you know, opposed to the idea of safe consumption sites, supervised injection sites. And so there's also, you know, drug use affects a wide variety of people in a wide variety of areas. So even in some of the rural parts of the state, you know, they're affected by this just as much. And so when it comes to how to respond, you do see differences cross party lines. But overall, we have a divided legislature. And so there are a number of efforts that are like more harm reduction focused or more less criminal focused that, you know, have a tougher time passing in the Republican chamber.
Do you have a view, or is that something you don't wish to do as a reporter? Do you have a view on what the best way to go is in terms of addressing this issue?
Sure. Yeah. When in terms of the work I do and what I like to do is we like to focus on the consequences of actions. And so at Spotlight PA, we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan newsroom. And so what I find where I can have the best impact is when we focus on sort of the consequences of actions. And one of the impacts we focused on is there's all this opioid settlement money that I mentioned earlier that's coming to Pennsylvania and coming to other states. And what we've done a lot of work to do is to show people where this money is actually going. And so that they can follow the money themselves and that they can get more involved themselves. And the idea there is if the people have a voice, if they have a say in where it goes, if they can see it, that will lead to better outcomes. But it's not really up to me to decide, you know, where the money should go. It's sort of just making it easier for the public.
A couple of last things before I let you go, Ed. Just on to move away from hard drugs for a moment.
Sure.
One thing I definitely noticed, we spent a few days in Washington and we spent now a few days in Philadelphia. In Washington, everywhere we went on the streets, you could smell marijuana. You don't get that in Philadelphia. Am I right in saying Pennsylvania marijuana isn't legalized? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's, so we do not have recreational marijuana legalized. If you can get a medical card and get medical approval, and hundreds of thousands of people have done that, and they can use it legally, but it's not recreationally approved, and that limits, you know, the type of open use that you would see.
Is that a divisive issue, or are there divided opinions on whether? Because I think other surrounding states have legalized marijuana.
Yeah, that's a great question. That is a huge division in Pennsylvania, and we've seen the medical cannabis industry. You know, they've grown over the years. They're a $1 billion industry in Pennsylvania. They've lobbied pretty hard to legalize recreational cannabis. We've seen a lot of politicians embrace that. Our governor, Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, he's embraced that. And all of our neighboring states except West Virginia have legalized recreational cannabis. And the argument is that Pennsylvania is losing out on hundreds of millions of dollars a year by not doing that. So, but it's stalled. It hasn't made much progress.
Okay. Just before I let you go, am I right in saying you have strong links to Ireland and County Mayo in particular?
I do, yeah. My grandfather is from County Mayo. He came over to the United States, I guess the 1910s, 1920s. He was hoping to be a tailor in the country. He ended up working as a butcher in Philadelphia for a long time. And yeah, my grandmother is from Ireland as well. So this is a real treat. And I'm very excited to tell everybody and my family that I'm on this show.
Okay. And do you have Irish citizenship? Am I right in saying that?
I do. Yeah. My brother, a couple of years ago, he filled out the paperwork and he had me sign some documents. So I have a citizenship of Ireland, which is very exciting. And I always talk to my kids about Ireland. And so they'll be very excited to hear that I'm on the show.
Yeah, I've become aware of this, the curse of Billy Penn. Now I know Philadelphia sports teams have got over that curse. I don't know, as a Mayo descendant, I don't know if you're aware of the Mayo curse that seems to have prevented them winning the All-Ireland Football Championship since the early 1950s. Have you become aware of this?
I have not.
Quest?
That's new. But I will do everything I can to help break that curse. And it's anything I can help you with on that.
Well, judging how they've gone in the championship so far, I think they might need all the help they can get. Ed, good to chat to you. Thanks so much for bringing us that really interesting findings of your investigative work. Ed Mahan, investigative reporter at Spotlight PA. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.